And welcome to Weather and Ag and Focus on this cloudy Thursday, 106 in the afternoon. We've got some rain on radar right now, stretching, from about Lemoore down through about Hankinson, all of that moving north-northeastward towards the Fargo-Moorhead area. It should arrive here right around the 3 o'clock hour or shortly after that. And then it's going to kind of stall right along that 94 corridor and kind of hang with us overnight tonight. In fact, some areas of the Southern Valley are expected to get some heavy rainfall out of this, possibly up to or over an inch of rain. I'm Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysocki. Bridget is playing hooky today. I think she's still celebrating her birthday, Addison, from yesterday.
She's getting too crazy out there with us.
Well, you know how she gets around birthday time.
That's true. Who can blame her?
Yeah, right? So, again, we're gonna be looking at rainfall overnight through the night tonight, and the weekend does stand to be a little bit better, as we'll see a peak or two of sunshine both Saturday and Sunday, but both days should be on the dry side. But we are about ready to go into the stormy part of our LRC cycle, and Gary Lezak will be joining us here in just a little bit, and we're going to go over what the rest of the summer looks like for the area. And I'll tell you what, so far we've been pretty lucky. We've seen timely rains, and it looks like that will continue to be the case. Now, I'm sure you've been listening, but we're doing the Great Grocery Giveaway, and we're qualifying people for the final drawing on July 10th when we are going to announce one lucky winner gets free groceries, $10,000 worth of groceries. So, boy, I'll tell you what, that's what a great prize. So if you want to log on to our website, wdayradionow.com, and you can register for that. And then each day we'll be drawing qualifiers, and you have to call in. You'll have 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call in if your name is drawn. And today's qualifier is Linda Lease. Linda, you've got 9 minutes and 70 seconds to call. Again, that is Linda Lease. Linda, give us a call, 701-293-9000. So I believe we do have Gary on. Addison, do we have Gary? Gary, it's always a pleasure to have you on Weather and Ag in Focus. How's your day going?
Good afternoon. I'm doing fantastic, Dean. It's great to see you and talk to you, and a lot going on, but I'm doing fine.
Good deal.
It's really good, man. Yeah, I've been on the radio. I've been on the TV.
I saw that
the last two months. So
Phil, and you thought you were going to get retired from TV?
Yeah, I'm 3 more weeks and I am done.
All right. So, again, we're going to be talking about what the rest of this summer entails. But for those that don't know, we'll do a quick overview. For those that don't know what the LRC is, give us a quick overview of the LRC and how it works.
Okay. The weather pattern is cycling, and regularly, and it's actually a major discovery in science. And back in the 1940s, this guy, Jerome de Mias, noticed that how in November, October, November, there's enough information in the weather pattern that's developing to predict the following winter. And then he developed this whole concept of there's this index cycle that lasts weeks at a time. What he didn't realize is that the entire cycle repeats over and over again. So this year, for example, the weather pattern set up in October and November like he envisioned it might. And then it repeats over and over again. And so we figure out what that cycle length is, and by November and December, we really start to narrow in on what it is. This year happens to be close to 6 weeks long. So the weather pattern we're in today, the weather pattern you're experiencing with this rain and thunderstorm activity coming into your area, if you go back 6 weeks and 12 weeks and 18 weeks and 24 weeks, you'll find out not exactly 41, 42 days ago, but maybe 40 days ago, 43 days ago, 39 days ago, somewhere in that range. You had a similar weather pattern that produced similar results. So a storm that produces a blizzard and a winter storm in January isn't going to produce a blizzard and a winter storm in June and July, right?
Right.
It's going to produce a good chance of rain, though, and that's what you're experiencing now. So that's basically what the LRC is, and it's for North Dakota, it's for South Dakota, it's for Minnesota, it's for the United States, it's for North America, and it's for everywhere where 90% of the world lives in the Northern Hemisphere. The Southern Hemisphere has a cycle as well. It's a different cycle down there. There may be some interaction between the two, which I haven't figured out yet, but that's what it's all about.
And it is an amazing discovery, Gary. I know when I was introduced to this years ago, just like many meteorologists, I thought, no, that we weren't taught this in any meteorology classes. And I'll tell you what, after working with you over the last numerous years, it's still jaw-dropping to me on how accurate it is. So I went back and looked. So I based it on about a 41, 42-day cycle. And during that stretch in May, when cycle six came through, we're now in cycle seven, we had about almost 2.5 inches of rain during that two-week period. And now that we're entering the stormy part of cycle seven, lo and behold, you know, most of the models are printing out anywhere between 1 and 3 inches of rain over the next couple of weeks here. I mean, that's not a coincidence. That's almost spot on. And if you extrapolate that, I believe it comes to the end of July into the first part of August when we get back into that wet cycle again. And I'll tell you, these are timely rains. It's the areas of drought. I just pulled up the drought monitor index, and the areas that were in drought over the eastern part of North Dakota, western Minnesota, it's almost been eradicated. There's still some abnormally dry and low drought conditions, if you will. But even out in the western part of the state where they had severe drought conditions, even their drought has really, really subsided. And like you said, Gary, that the droughts they're either contracting or expanding. And the LRC predicted that even though the Climate Prediction Center was saying, not necessarily going to happen, the LRC predicted that a lot of these areas, the drought was going to shrink. And it has. So it just, it's been amazing.
You're exactly right. And, you know, it's not easy predicting long range like we do. And a lot of the farmers out there that may be listening now and have started using it will vow for what you just said. I mean, we predicted this in December and January, and we're consistent all the way through that it would not be a major drought year for the crops out there. And so it's not easy because sometimes the models that people look at and sometimes the Climate Prediction Center and other weather forecasts that you use, I don't recommend using any other weather services because they're just wrong all the time. And yet people still like to go look at them and they like to say, hey, a major heat wave is coming in 2 weeks. And I go, no, it is not. And then we'll be right. And then that is wrong. But for some reason, they keep going back to the wrong data. And this is what gives weather a bad image. So, yes, you're correct. We did predict that this drought would be shrinking. In a shrinking drought, that doesn't mean there's not going to be some stress, dry stress, and some heat stress as we go into the summer months. We're going to have periods of time where that does happen. Most areas in the Corn Belt, Iowa, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, back up into you guys on the northwest edge, they need 2 inches of rain per week, but they don't average that. They average below that. So if you're not, either you're having a wet season and there's too much rain and it's flooding and it's a problem, or then you don't get enough. This year it's just enough. It's like literally a weather pattern that produces just enough, but that puts the pressure on those timely rains, right?
Now
it dries out for 7 days. We have a little heat build in. You start getting a disease environment on the crops. And then, boom, you get the timely rain. And if you don't, then we could still have some problems. There's going to be a few pockets that don't get it.
Right, right. And that's normal, too. A real quick break here, Gary. So, again, for our great grocery giveaway, Linda Lease. Linda, if you know Linda, She's from Fargo here. Have her give us a call, 701-293-9000, to qualify for that $10,000 grocery giveaway. Boy, that'd be nice to have.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Addison, how much time does she have left? About 4 or 5 minutes here to call?
3 minutes, 50 seconds, according to my timer here.
All right. So, Linda Lease, you got a few more minutes to give us a call. So, right now, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to continue our talk with Gary and the LRC. We'll break down what the rest of the summer looks like. If you have any questions for Gary or myself, give us a call, 701-293-9000, or you can email your questions to weather@flagfamily.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. And don't forget, technology is supposed to help your farm and ranch. If you have any technology questions about how to make your farm or ranch run better, contact Chris at techsupport.com/farm. We've got Gary Lezak, founder of the LRC and Weather 2020, joining us, and we're going to be talking about what the rest of the summer looks like around here. And Gary, I've got an email question here, and he wants to know. He said, when you were on with us earlier this year, you were predicting a possible derecho event around the end of July and the first part of August, and that would be this cycle going through. So that would be cycle 8 and the stormy part of cycle 8. And our emailer wants to know, do you still think we're looking at severe weather or a derecho event around that time?
Yes, I still am. I'll have to go look. It's related to about the time frame we're going through right now.
Yes.
Know? So It's like this. Next week's storm system, which is the Kansas City blizzard part of the weather pattern, and I just lined up cycle 1, October 11th, cycle 2, November the 22nd, the 25th, cycle 3, January 3rd, cycle 4, February 13th, cycle 5, I lined up about March 27th, cycle 6, May 3rd, cycle 7. Now, this series of storms coming in is related to that. And so the late July and early August version, what will it line up with? It'll be a lot hotter. Mm-hmm. There'll be higher humidity. And so that's why when this comes back through, there will be an increased risk of that severe weather event.
Right. And he also has second part of his question. He said, what do you think about hurricanes around the Fort Myers area for the rest of hurricane season?
Sounds like he's going on vacation.
That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, Fort Myers and Naples and that whole west coast of Florida has been a target for years now. And we think that it's less of a target this year. I do still see one threat for the Florida Panhandle west to Louisiana. But for the southwest coast of Florida, west central coast of Florida, south of Tampa, just a lower threat this year. I still think there may be one threat, so it only takes one to cause a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most likely, most of the activity is going to be around Louisiana and Texas, and then possibly the east coast of Florida this year. Do you know, it's an interesting statistic. The last time there was a major hurricane to make landfall on the United States east coast, so in other words, from Maine to Miami,
mm-hmm.
the last time there was a major hurricane, Category 3 or stronger, was 2004.
You're kidding.
It's been 21 years,
wow.
Over 20 years since the last one. So they're due for a major. They've been hit by hurricanes. You know, Sandy was a Category 3, then we could be Category 1. Others have come towards the coast, but they've been weaker. So most of the strong activity has been on the Gulf side.
Interesting. Yeah, 21 years. Now, is that one of the target zones expected during this hurricane season?
Yeah, the east coast of Florida has a couple of chances.
Okay.
And if you're wondering, you know, we're proud of this. The LRC and Weather 2020 is number one in the world in hurricane forecasting based on data from Barcelona Supercomputing Center in Spain. We're number one in predicting the number of named storms, the activity, how active the season is going to be, the major hurricanes and hurricanes 3 years in a row. It's like we won the Masters of predicting hurricanes.
That's great.
Yeah. So we're proud of that. But, you know, now we're going to try to make it 4 years in a row. And we have predicted 20 named storms this season, 17 to 23. We're above almost everyone this year. Last year, we were below almost everyone and ended up being lower than everybody else. So we'll make it 4 years in a row, just like for you guys out there in ag. It's 4 years in a row we've now predicted the weather accurately for the community.
That's awesome. And you've got, if anybody's not familiar with your website, weather2020.com, and you've got the dashboard on there, which breaks down, you can do your individual city. It'll break down day by day through the rest of the summer and fall, what the temperatures are supposed to be like, what days we're expecting precip, so you could plan a wedding by that. You could plan your vacation by that. Wherever you're going, click on that city where you're going, and the LRC will tell you, hey, it's going to rain on that day. It'll tell you what the temperatures are expected to be like. How's that been going? I've noticed a few changes in it for the better. I mean, it is
good.
It is downright spot on. I was checking it out for the rest of this month. And I compared it to my forecast, and I said, "This is pretty much day by day exactly what we're forecasting." So,
right. Well, you're using the LRC and your mind and your art and your ability to predict the weather based on the patterns that you know, and then the model backs it up. The model's doing quite well. Our art is still better than our models. We're over 90% accurate when you and I are able to put our brains together and make predictions. And then the model itself is probably a little better than 50% accurate, maybe 60% accurate, which is turning out to be really good when you think about predicting 100 days out and getting that kind of accuracy, because the other models are only 20% accurate at that point. So just know that. But, yeah, that's exciting. And the product that's on our website at weather2020.com, if you do get the dashboard and purchase that, I'll throw in a special. Just let us know. If you do it, we'll know what to do. But we'll throw in the severe weather guide, the hurricane forecast guide, and the winter forecast guide that comes out in December. We'll throw that in as well. So.
Great. Well, Gary, let's start to break down. I know a lot of people in the area want to know what the rest of the summer looks like. And we're getting into the stormy part of the LRC cycle right now. So the next 2 weeks, if it repeats like it did in the last cycle, in cycle six, where we got 1 to 3 inches of rain, over the next 2 weeks, are you confident that through much of our area, through the end of the month, we could be looking at widespread 1 to 3 inches, and some spots even a little bit more than that?
Yes, I'm very confident. That's not easy to do in June. You know, you get to June and July. What happens is the jet stream retreats north and weakens. The jet stream is caused by temperature contrast. So during the winter, it might be 50 degrees below zero in central and northern Canada when an Arctic air mass builds up and it gets brutally cold up there. And down near the Mexico border, it might be 90 degrees. So you have 140 degrees in contrast. During the summer, as we go through the next few weeks, it might be 70 degrees in central Canada and 110 in the desert southwest. So instead of 140 degrees contrast, you have 40 degree contrast. So what that causes, it causes the jet stream to shift north, weaken, and yet the pattern continues to cycle regularly. So yes, we have confidence in these forecasts, but the July and August version tends to shift the severe weather north. And that's why you have that derecho possibility towards the end of July. And then it tends to shift the precipitation patterns a little bit north. And you're seeing that today with rain, tonight with rain coming in. So it's already shifted north just a little bit. So things like that are happening. I have confidence that it's going to continue. And then we'll just have to see, because what happens if there was no LRC, if there was no cycling pattern, then what would happen is the heat of the land masses during the summer will get hotter and hotter and hotter. The deserts get up to 120, 130 degrees, and this dome would build over the whole land mass. But the weather pattern is cycling. So the LRC tells us when it's going to move that area that builds over the desert southwest. It's going to want to be over the hottest area in the southwestern United States.
Right.
In northwest Mexico. And then, but the LRC tells us when they're going to move. So we know right now when the likely heat waves are going to be. And they're going to be two or three chances of 90 plus for 3 to 7 days, and then it'll break down and these chances of rain will come in. But that's where the pressure is going to come on. You're going to need that timely thunderstorm right at the end of that heat.
Good point. Yeah, no doubt. Well, Gary, we're running up on the bottom of the hour break. We've got another emailer that was asking about a couple of weddings that she's going to. So we'll hit on that. We'll break down the month of July and August as well on when the wet periods are going to be and when the drier periods are going to be as well, along with the temperatures. I know everybody wants to know how to plan the rest of their summer. So we'll have those answers for you coming up right after the break. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus, 1:35 in the afternoon. And if you have any questions for Gary or myself about the LRC and the rest of what the summer entails, give us a call on our JLA insurance phone line, 701-293-9000. Again, that's 701-293-9000. And Gary, I got an email from Tammy. She's got a couple of weddings. One is July 18th, and looking on the Global Predictor on Weather 2020 website, July 18th looks, Tammy, like we're just starting to enter part of the stormy cycle towards that end of July month. So could see a few storms, and her other wedding date is in November 1st. Now, November 1st.
Are they both in Fargo?
Yeah, I'm assuming she didn't say, but I'm assuming they are. Now, November is kind of a gray month because the new cycle is just starting to set up then. So it's kind of hard to predict when the new cycle length is setting up in October and going through November. So, Tammy, if you want to check back with us, then the Global Predictor right now.
Let me call it up, Dean. Can I just call it up?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So the Global Predictor, and by the way, this, if you want your little cheat sheet for weather forecasting, it's the Global Predictor. The dashboard at Weather 2020, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, but that's $1,200 a year. This is $5.99 a month. So, go buy a cup of coffee or you get the Global Predictor. What's wrong with that? So in Fargo, I'm just going to go to the Global Predictor and I click on it. It works great on desktops. It also works on mobile. All you do is go into where you're going, whether it's Italy or Fargo. You click. And here's the forecast for July 18th. It shows 83 degrees for a high on the 18th of July. The low, 65 degrees for the low. Any snow? No.
Well, let's hope not.
No snow. And then you click on precipitation. It does have a stormy stretch beginning on the 18th that lasts till the 24th. Here's the good news for your wedding, okay? It starts on the 18th. And then it's the middle of that stretch is the 21st and 22nd, so early the next week. And it's dry from the 14th to the 17th. So this probably means you're good to go on the 18th of July for the wedding day, all right? And because the better chance of rain would be right down the middle of that wet stretch. So there's a chance of thunderstorms that day, but more likely in a day or two following. And the other date was in November, right?
Yeah, November 1st.
So we have a forecast out there right now. The Global Predictor does go all the way to, let's see where it goes to right now, to December the 8th, right? December the 9th. So pretty soon that Christmas forecast is going to be on there. But on November the 8th, you said?
No, November the 1st.
Oh, November 1st, okay. It has 49 for a high, the low of 35. No snow, and it does have some precipitation that day. So as Dean was alluding to, the new LRC is setting up in October and November. So that's a little gray area. You at least have a forecast and an idea of what it might be like, but it's more likely to be accurate in July than it is in November. And then once that pattern sets up from December through the next September, we can make those forecasts.
Right. All right. And we've got Rick on line one. Rick, you got a question for Gary or myself?
Yeah, so just a quick question. I know, like, probably in weather, it's like any other profession, there's a lot of ego that goes with it and new systems and stuff like that. But you guys have been around for quite a while now, and it seems to be proven more accurate than most. But what are the other professionals that are still skeptical? What are they skeptical about? What's their reasons, if you can answer that?
Thanks,
it's a
Rick.
Good question. Dean and I can both answer that probably. Dean will have his perspective. They don't know what it is. So until, you know, most things in this world, especially scientists, they need peer review work. They need to read, okay? They want to read and learn, okay? And they can learn by following our weather intelligence report that we have every week on weather2020.substack.com. I do have one peer review paper that is out there that really explains the LRC well, called Cycling Patterns of the Northern Hemisphere. You can Google that. And so they can read that. But because they don't know and they haven't put the time into it, they're skeptical, because they think, well, how come this isn't scientifically proven yet? I believe we have proven it scientifically, but not beyond a shadow of a doubt. That's coming in the next decade or so. But Dean, what's your take on that?
Well, I wanted, and I was going to point to was it Gary England, who you know, he was very skeptical, and I think this goes through most meteorologists. Explain Gary's story, Gary England's story, on how he was skeptical the whole time, and then bam, all of a sudden he's like, this works, this is correct. What happened?
You just hit a very emotional moment, because he passed away just 2 days ago.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, Gary England, my mentor, Gary England, amazing man. You can go read about it online. He was in the movie Twister. Everyone, if you want to hear that, meteorologist in the background talking about the tornado coming, the first Twister, not the second one. And he was the meteorologist in there. Oh. I met him in 1985, and he was my mentor. And he taught me so much about the TV business, and just was a supporter and friend for the last 40, 50 years. So I love the guy, but he passed away. He was 85 years old. He had a great, I'm going to get emotional, great life. And but he said in 2009, 2010, and this is actually a good answer to the question we just got. Mm-hmm. Here's a meteorologist that has been on the air forever. In 2010, a winter storm is heading towards Oklahoma City, where he worked. And I was trying, it was 5 days out, and the GFS model was showing like a foot of snow there. And they only average 8 inches of snow a winter. And he said, he called me Lozak. He called me Lozak from the second week he knew me. I don't know why he started calling me Lozak, but he did. He goes, Lozak, the model has a foot of snow. And I said, Gary, look back about 50 days. Let's say it was a 50-day cycle that year. Look back 50 days ago in October. Do you see this? Don't you see that the pattern is the same? So the GFS is modeling it correctly. You can go for the foot of snow 5 days before right now. He went for it. It was Christmas week. He went on vacation. He got it right. The foot of snow did happen. And when he came back January 5th, he calls me up and he goes, Lozak, you won't believe it. I saw it. And it is the LRC. I saw it. It's the same but different. It's the same but different. And now I can't see it anymore. In other words, he saw it. So the rest of his life, the last 16 years, he knew it existed, because he actually did see what we see, Dean. Mm-hmm. But it's not easy to see if you don't stare at it over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And so that's another reason why others are skeptical, because they don't know what it is. They think it's impossible, when it's the exact opposite, it's possible. And they think it's just chaos in that river of air above us, and it's the exact opposite of what they think. It's completely ordered. It's the order in the chaos.
And when I was so our former meteorologist, Justin, who used to work here, when I introduced Justin to it, he said, there's no way. And so I sat down and kind of showed him, hey, look, let's print the upper air charts. We'll print these off and follow this along. And once we get this pattern that sets up in early October, once you see that same pattern or something very, very similar to it come around again, bam, you have your cycle length set. You can time out the storms. It really is that simple. You just have to know what you're looking for. And I'll never forget, he put all the maps He had them taped up on the wall, and we would follow it along, and it's like, bam. Let's say the cycle length was 45 days. 45 days later, there it is. I'm like, bingo, you got it.
And the models that everyone else uses, sometimes 5 days and 7 days before, which Gary England used to make that prediction in 2009, many times they don't even show the storm that's supposed to be right there. So, mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, where is it? Gary, where is it? And sometimes you and I have talked. I said, Dean, it's still 7 to 10 days away. Watch, the models are going to come on. And then sometimes even a day or two before, the models finally catch on and the pattern lines up.
Exactly. Well, Gary, we've got about 10 minutes left, so let's quickly break down what the rest of the summer looks like here in the Fargo-Moorhead area. So we know it's going to be stormy for the next couple of weeks to end out the month of June. Now let's take a look in July. So I'm taking a look at the Global Predictor and the LRC here, and it looks like outside of maybe some stormy conditions on the 1st of July, it looks like the first 10, 11 days of July look relatively dry. And that's not saying we're not going to see any rain, but it looks relatively dry for the first 11 days. What are you seeing for the second half of July?
Well, near the end of July, when that possible severe weather setup happens, it'll turn cooler. You'll go into that northwest flow, cooler part of the pattern. That doesn't mean you won't have thunderstorms, but something to look at is near the end of July, it'll turn cooler. But in the middle to the end of July, there's going to be one little 3 to 7 day stretch where you might get up to 90, 92, 94 degrees. Plus, there may be a couple of really hot days in there, and then it'll break because the pattern's cycling. It's going to blow through. Mm-hmm. So, that's how it looks for July. And then August is even more of a wild card. That's when the jet stream reaches its weakest point and farthest north position, and then it starts strengthening as the new LRC starts evolving as we go towards the end of August. But what do you have for August?
Yeah, August, in terms of precip, we're going to start out the first couple of days in August. So that end of July, early August, that's when the pattern that we're in right now, we're going to start getting into that stormy pattern. So the end of July with a couple of severe weather possibilities. And then from the 3rd through about the 11th, we've got a couple of decent storm systems rolling through here for that first part of August, 3rd through the 11th. Maybe a break on the 7th and 8th with some pretty wet conditions. And then from about the 12th through the 21st, we'll start to dry things out and temperatures warming up as well. And then the end of August looks pretty wet as well. And temperature-wise, looks pretty warm. The stretch around the 12th through the 16th where we cool off a little bit in August, and then we warm it right back up all the way through the end of the month. So, I think when we had you on in April, you were predicting, with the LRC that we were going to have temperatures on whole, at or a little bit above normal, with precip, pretty close to normal to maybe a smidge below normal. But, all in all, like I said, the LRC has been spot on. We haven't seen a whole lot of 90s. I know a lot of people, we saw a little stretch in May where we had about 3-4 days of 90-degree heat, and everybody was kind of freaking out saying, oh, right, this better not be a sign of things to come this summer. But I don't see a whole stretch of 90s developing like we had here. I believe it was 88 or 89 where we had 39 days of 90-degree temperatures up here. We're going to see those breaks with the northwest flow coming in from Canada before the heat builds back in, kind of what we're going to see here over the next couple of weeks with the heat trying right to build in but not quite making it with that northwest flow.
Yeah, exactly. And so I was looking at the Global Predictor, and it's really interesting when you look at it for August. And as you just said, were you looking at that, or were you just coming up with your analysis?
No, I was going over the Global Predictor, correct.
Okay, good. Yeah, because it does have the rain on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of August, the 9th of August to the 11th, and then again the 22nd for 2 days, and then at the end of the month, the 28th to the 31st, it has some rain. So, yeah, August is going to have those opportunities for showers and thunderstorms, but it's also when the pattern starts changing. But, yeah, it's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Now, taking a look at the dashboard, which aligns with the Global Predictor, we're looking at, the biggest precip event I see, which is coming up at the end of July, the 20, basically about the 22nd through the 24th, we're at over 500% of normal. So that looks like an incredibly potential for an incredibly wet couple of days on that third week in July.
Yeah, I'm going to go look real quick at my severe weather guide and see what I predicted for that very end of July, because the one caller called in. I haven't looked at it, but we have this on our site, so I'm calling it up. Here it is. I'm just scanning through it real quick, and here's all of our predictions. Let's see here. Okay, hold on. I'm still, okay, June 12th to 18th, July 4th to 9th, July 10th to 18th. Yeah, July 28th to August 5th. Your listener really remembers well. I wrote, this segment of the LRC produced the severe weather outbreak on January 5th. So guess what? The July 28th to August 5th period of time when we did predict the potential for severe weather from Fargo all the way through the Wisconsin and Minnesota, possibly a derecho, is related to the part of the pattern that's cycling through in the next week. So let's see what happens next week with these thunderstorms.
Right.
And then remember, apply the 42-day cycle or so, and if it's June the 18th when something hits, then that means right around July 28th to August 5th. So that's where that prediction comes from.
Right. And, yeah, it'll be interesting because we haven't had really much severe weather to speak of up here. I'm hoping for at least a wind or a hail event because, to be honest with you, I need a new roof, Gary, and some siding too. So maybe we'll get some of that, like you said, end of July into early August. By the way, we've got Jay here. He wanted to pass along a big hello to
I saw this arm, and I was going, that's not Jay Thomas's arm, is
there
it?
Yeah. Oh, man. So Gary, all in all, do you see any – I mean, it's been a pretty active severe weather season to our south, a lot of tornadoes. Do you see any of the tornadic activity – and we've got about 2 minutes left. Do you foresee – I mean, we could have some derecho events – what about the possibility of seeing the active tornado pattern that's been to our south getting this far north, or do you think that's going to stay just to our south into the central plains?
Even the good news for North Dakota and for Oklahoma, okay, when it comes to tornado season, as soon as it hits July, tornado season is pretty much done. The jet stream is 2 weeks. When there's that derecho potential setup, there may be a few tornadoes. But instead of a tornado outbreak, it turns into a wind outbreak. So wind and hail is still possible during the summer. The chance of tornadoes is less just because the jet stream is weaker and the winds aloft are weaker. And I know you got a call earlier about what's the difference between the global predictor and Weather 2020, I think you got. Is that
right.
What you got?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Weather 2020 is our company, weather2020.com. You can go there and see all of our products and our site, and we're always evolving with that site. And the Global Predictor is one of our products. So it is in the App Store. It's powered by the LRC model. It's from Weather 2020, but it's its own product. So you can just go to the App Store and get the Global Predictor for just $5.99 or a discount $49.99 a year, and you can have a forecast anywhere in the world. Just click and get your forecast for the next 6 months. It's great for vacation planning. The dashboard that's on our website is a lot more expensive because farmers, and there's over 100 of them using it now, a lot in North Dakota, and they can plan week by week which weeks will be wet, which weeks will be dry, and by December and January, you can go all the way through the planting, growing, and harvest seasons with that product. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and that is huge for our ag community. And we've got, you know, plenty of farmers up here, like you said, that are using not only the dashboard, but the Global Predictor as well. And they've had nothing but great things to say. So, Gary, we're running out of time here, but I want to thank you for joining us. If anybody wants to get a hold of you again, it's weather2020.com, and you can find those products on there. So I want to thank you again for joining us, Gary, and for Gary and myself. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Don't go anywhere. The Jay Thomas Show, that's coming up next.